You're listening to Rosie on the House.
And a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you all. It is 8 o'clock. It's the fourth Saturday of the month. It is Farmer Greg's turn to come in and help get us motivated to urban farm on our properties. It's a way, a concept of transforming our properties into edible landscapes, becoming food independent, food sustainable.
Really important.
Really, really good word here. Regenerative gardening.
There you go. So I think the most important thing that anybody can do right now is to learn where your food comes from and how to grow it. Because it's,
and that can change. I mean, look at this spring we've had here in Arizona.
It can.
The highs, the lows, the ups, yep. The downs. I mean, you want to talk about hardness on food, and this is the Outdoor Living Hour and vegetables and gardens. I mean, you know how hard this weather is on animals and what that can do keep your egg production consistent, your milking production consistent, your beef production consistent. These ups and downs are very hard on animals unless you've got them, like us, in a quality-controlled home. How many of your animals are in a quality-controlled home?
You mean climate-controlled?
I'm sorry. Quality-controlled, climate-controlled.
Yeah, but well, there's a whole lot
of... Do you bring your chickens in with you at night at bedtime?
No. However, we do outsolate the chicken coop, especially on the colder nights. We take old shower curtains and hang them on the outside to reduce the amount of wind blowing through there. Mm-hmm. So we do some of that. And then we, on Craigslist about 2 years ago, we found an old evaporative cooler. So we have an old Master Cool evaporative cooler that cools them off for most of the season.
Yeah. Nice.
Really important.
Yeah, I would think a patio pal might be a bit too much for the chickens.
That's for human use.
So I want to go back to something here real quick. There's a really important statistic out there, and there's been some research done on this, and that is that we have a 3-day supply of food in any urban area in the grocery stores. And I actually contend that we only have about a 3-hour supply, because if something were to happen, you know, the grocery store shelves are going to empty real quickly. Now, I'm not talking about end of the world stuff here. I'm talking about a power outage.
Tornadoes in Alabama.
Yep.
Or when they hit Joplin. Hurricanes in the Gulf Coast in Louisiana.
Exactly.
We are very blessed to be in a market, a state that we are not susceptible to a lot of those.
Yep.
But
there's still trucker strikes. There's still power outages there. A friend of mine lived through a 3-day power outage in San Diego County in 2014. He said that was interesting. So, you know, really having a sense of where our food comes from and how to grow our own is, in my humble opinion, one of the most important things that we can be doing right now.
And that's why we're here.
Yay.
Talking regenerative gardening.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And you also mentioned food forest. That's one of the things that I love to do, is converting my landscape and other people's landscapes into edible. It makes no sense whatsoever to me that we grow things that you can't eat. So that's what I coach people to do. Plant systems in your yard that people can come and see, so that they can start doing it themselves. And we'll in April, we'll have some tours. April and May, we have tours of the urban farm. People can find out about them at urbanfarm.org. And you can actually come and see my edible landscape, which, by the way, is 30 years old this year.
Congratulations.
I've been there for 30 years, yes, at the urban farm. I think we talked a little bit about decades at the urban farm last month.
And when you see this, if you go on this tour, just understand that some of these things you're seeing may take 30 years to get to. But others won't.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's probably not going to take 30 years. In fact, people ask me that, how long it would take. And I would say, if I was starting with a brand new edible landscaping project, I would say from start to having it being nice and mature, we're talking 5 years.
Hmm.
And people get a little overwhelmed when they come on my tours. And I promise them, I say, listen, here's the deal. Take a deep breath, pick one or two things, and do them and be successful at them. Because what you're seeing here at the urban farm, it has happened over the past 30 years, and it takes time. So just, take a deep breath and plant a fruit tree, start your garden, plant your fall garden or spring garden, and, you know, one little step at a time.
And starting with that step, where do we start when we're getting our garden going? When we're looking at how big is your urban farm?
A third of an acre.
A third of an acre. So I don't have any details. I'd say a lot of lot sizes are probably like that. The difference between your home and newer homes is homes that you may have a 3,000 square foot, 5,000 square foot home on a third of an acre.
Right.
Versus, you know, how we used to do it 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah, well, and it's actually a lot of times there's a 3 or 4,000 square foot house on a
5,000 square foot property.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's when it gets challenging. And you know, so what I'm going to share with you next are the top two or three things that you need to do to know about in order to adequately place your garden. Because the first thing that'll kill your garden, have it be a non-starter, is where you put it. We call this your microclimate. And the solar aspect of your microclimate. So microclimates in your yard are places that are warmer or cooler. So what might make a yard warmer or cooler?
Shade.
Shade, absolutely. Block walls, concrete, grass. So you need to start paying attention to those things that make your space warmer or cooler. The other thing that makes it warmer or cooler is what we call solar aspect. And the solar aspect of where your garden goes is essentially what direction does it face. So if you have a block wall and you stand with your back up against that block wall and look in a direction, what direction are you looking? So the particular one that I'm thinking about at the urban farm is on the east side of my backyard, but when my back is against it, I'm looking west. So that is a western solar exposure. A western solar exposure gets sun from noon until sundown. How hot do you suppose that'll be, especially in the summertime?
You should noon see to sundown. You're pushing 8 hours there and
easily
peak of the summer solstice.
Yeah, exactly. And it's super hot. So if you want to grow a spring and summer garden, putting it on a western exposure probably isn't going to be all that great. However, if you stand against that wall and you're looking east, that's an eastern exposure. Eastern exposures get sun from sunup until noon. And it's going to be a cooler microclimate. Plus, after about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's probably going to start being in the shade. So a spring and summertime garden is great on an eastern exposure. And then another, the next place that we need to look is northern exposure. Northern exposure, again, if I stand with my back against the wall, what direction am I looking? If you are doing a northern exposure garden, that's on the north side of your house. You're barely going to get any sunlight over there. It's the hardest place to grow. It's even harder to grow there than it is on a western exposure. We can do things like create shade, grow shade, put up shade on a western exposure. But if you don't have any sun because of where the sun's at in the sky during the winter and summer, you're not going to be able to grow much. So if you have a northern-facing patio in your condo, probably not going to be able to grow a whole lot there. If you have a western-facing exposure patio on your condo, that's going to be a hard place to grow from about April 1st on. But if you plant a garden in pots or in containers or in the ground, if you plant a garden in October, that's probably going to be a really great place to grow from October to, you know, April or May. Because you in the winter, we want that warmer microclimate. So these are just some of the things that you need to think about when actually placing your garden.
And wherever you're standing, when we're looking, you know, we're back against the wall and we're looking in the sky and where's the sun directional, where it is in the summer is not where it is in the winter. There's a 13-degree, I believe it's 13 degrees travel difference from where the sun sets in the summertime to the winter, and then coming back to that area in the summertime. So when mapping all of this, what time of the year are you planting? Because
really important.
It, you may not think about it, but 13 degrees is pretty significant we're talking sunlight, and your neighbor's shade tree could completely affect something you...
Exactly. Exactly. So here's what I tell people to do. We all have smartphones, or most of us have smartphones these days. Set your smartphone for December 21st at noon to give you an alert, and for June 21st, the summer and winter solstice.
Get your extremes.
And go look where the sun is at in the sky on those days. In the winter, it's going to be low in the sky, directly south. In the summer, you're going to pretty much be looking straight up at the sun. So that gives you a clue as well. That's an assignment that you can do, and that'll help give you an idea of where it's going to be warmer or cooler in your space.
And aside from even that is put a stake in the ground and measure your shadow distances.
Exactly.
So you can then calculate your neighbor's shade tree.
Mm-hmm.
And, all right, it's this tall, so this time of year, here's how long the shadow is going to be.
Yep.
And the summertime, it's not an issue, but there are still those points in the summer where all bets are off when it's 120 degrees.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, and one of the things that I discovered, talking about 120 degrees, one of the things that I discovered, and you would think that I would have discovered this a long time ago, but it just goes to the observation piece, is how hot is your soil in August midday? So maybe we'll talk about that after the break.
I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about how hot anything is in August. But you know what? It's what we live in. And
it is.
Being able to match with where we live, with what we can grow and eat and consume for our own food supply.
Yep.
That's what this Saturday broadcast is for with Farmer Greg here at Rosie on the House. You can get more information and sign up for a Urban Farm Tour at urbanfarm.org.
Urbanfarm.org on the front page.